Welcome to the Hole of the Ball podcast from me, Jay Forbes. Looking forward to giving you a new episode today. I just want to mention before I start that if you haven't already, check out some of the episodes I've done before. I'll tell you my three favourites. So the last one that I did, there's only one. That was an A to Z of different football stories. I quite enjoyed doing that one. There's quite a bit of content in there that I think lots of people would enjoy. So there's that one. Before that, the Holycopter, where I took a virtual journey around the world. I'll give you an insight into different leagues, players, competitions, etc. So that was a good one. And another one of my favourites, the Transfer Taxi. So I did that start of the season for most leagues in Europe. And just moved some players around between clubs. Told you a bit about the players and where they're moving from and to, and what I expect from this season. I will be doing a podcast soon on a league update. So I'll be going through again from lots of leagues across the world, giving an update of what's happened so far this season. And there'll be an appearance from a few of the taxi passengers. We'll see how they got on since I last dropped them off. Okay, but today, the podcast I want to speak to you about today is about UEFA Champions League and the UEFA Europa League. Two great competitions, ones that I've grown to love more and decided to learn more about, so hence this episode. Because currently, my knowledge, or prior to doing this podcast, my knowledge on the Champions League and Europa League was, you could say, UEFA thin. You see what I did there? UEFA thin knowledge. Everyone knows the big teams, the ones that have won the Champions League before. But in every Champions League season, you see some of the teams that make up the groups, and you wonder, what country are they even from? Some of them you never heard of. And the Europa League's the same. These teams that I've only just discovered this season and have existed for over 100 years. Yeah, so we're going to remedy that now. So, who are these teams? What countries do they come from? What are they up to? Well, if we first start by telling you about the nature of both competitions, the Champions League and Europa League, 30 countries are represented between the two competitions. So everyone knows the core leagues, England, Italy, Spain, Germany, France. But there's a lot of countries represented outside that. So the Champions League, so let me just clarify. We're talking about the group stage. The qualifiers, the successful teams that have made it to the group stage of both competitions, I'll be discussing and some of the qualifications for those teams. The Champions League in the group stages has 16 countries represented. The Europa League, with the larger groups, a whopping 27 different countries represented. We'll have an interesting look at each of those. We're going to look at the less fancied teams. Some of these teams are referred to as nobodies. People say, oh, they're just making up the numbers. Some people won't watch the Europa League at all because of these weaker sides. Some people even skip the group stage for the Champions League and wait for the matchups of the bigger teams. But I like this. I like this stage. I like seeing some of these smaller teams, seeing how they can compete. You know, so they're going to go in head to head against these bigger teams, and sometimes you get a shock, and it's good to see. UEFA are talking about introducing a third European competition. Because of UEFA's poor reputation in some of the changes that they've made in organisation, this competition is predicted to be rubbish. But they did say that about FIFA's Nations League, and that's turned out all right. So I'm going to adopt a positive stance on the competition, as I always try and do. So we'll see what this UEFA conference does. But for now, we've got the Champions League and Europa League. So Champions League is your best. Europa League is a secondary competition, but it is a good tournament. And as I go on to in a bit, both are very closely tied. Right, we'll start with the Champions League. So I'll just give you a bit about both competitions before we dive in. Champions League has 8 groups of 4 teams. So I mentioned about the split of the teams outside the top leagues. So we're talking the big 5 leagues, as we're calling it at the moment. England, Spain, Germany, Italy, France. France is debatable, apart from PSG, Lyon, maybe Monaco recently. You know, you could argue that the Dutch league might be one to compete with. But anyway, we're talking big 5. And Champions League has 13 of the 32 teams are from outside those big 5. So if we compare that to the Europa League, so they've got 12 groups of 4, so more teams in it, but they've got 35 out of the 48 teams in the Europa League group stage and from outside the big leagues. So that's one that interests me a bit more at this stage. So we'll go back to the Champions League. It was last won by an outsider, and by them I mean this one outside the big five. It was last won by an outsider, by Porto in 03-04. Before that, Ajax 94-95. Special mention for Red Star Belgrade in 1990-91 season and Steaua Bucharest for Romania in 85-86. So if you compare that to the Europa League, that was last won by an outsider. Again, Porto in 2010-2011. Shakhtar 08-09. Zenit St. Petersburg 07-08. Special mention for Galatasaray in 99-2000. IFK Gothenburg in 86-87. And Anderlecht in 82-83. So as you see, these competitions are usually won by the teams from the big five leagues. But that doesn't stop the teams from other leagues competing and giving it a go. So after the group stage, it's all about the big boys in the Champions League. If you look at the bookies' odds for the top 16 favourites to win the competition, these 16 teams will probably progress. But while while it's still the group stage, there's the opportunity to see the smaller or lesser-known teams play on the same stage as the European giants. This is really important for me. This is the whole point of European competition. So your champions of one country can be stand side by side or head to head against the champions of Spain or wherever. That's what this competition is all about for me. Some of these teams in the Champions League have cut their teeth in the Europa League, and then later on some of them might drop from the Champions League into the Europa League, and they could be better for the experience of the Champions League, and they could have a good crack at the Europa League. Like I said, I'm just looking at the competition just up to the end of the group stage for now. So I've chosen 10 Champions League teams to look at and 15 Europa League teams. So we're going to have a look at them, but for the teams we'll look at. So from the Champions League point of view, we're going to have a look at what country these teams are from and what leagues and what position in the league they finished to get to the tournament. For any of the teams that have had to go through qualifiers, what was their route to the competition, and a little bit about their previous European record. Just to give you a bit of background into some of these teams that are lesser known. In the Europa League, I'm going to focus more on that country they came from, the league position in that country, and the route to the competition. Some of these teams have got more complicated routes to the tournament that I'll go on to later. When you look at the amount of games some of these teams have to play, it's amazing. And some of them will have less European pedigree, might not have a history of competing well in this tournament to the latter stages. So I won't go too much about that. I'm going to focus more on where they're from and how they got to this top European competition. Right, so I'm going to start with the Champions League. So this is the Champions League Others. So other teams outside the big five. Some have played no qualifiers. Some of them have had to play two, three, or even four playoffs to even get to the Champions League. I'm going to start with Bruges, Club Bruges, or Club Brugge, as you're supposed to pronounce it correctly. They were the Belgian runners-up last year. They've had to come through qualifiers, two-legged qualifier against Dynamo Kiev. That's second in Ukraine, similar strength league. And they also played two-legged tie against LASK, L-A-S-K, the second in Austria. So they've had four games before we even get to the group stage against similar opposition. They're up in the tournament against the Turkish champions and the French champions. So they're two leagues that are better. Turkish leagues have a higher standard, arguably, than the Belgian league. And the French league is another step up again. The other team that's in their group finished third in Spain. So again, a league of a higher standard and also recent champions in this competition. So they're the kind of teams we're looking at. Club Brugge, they've had one previous UEFA Cup final and one European Cup final. So they're both runners-up in those competitions in the 70s. The club's got a strong bond with the fans. They have often dubbed the 12th man. Club Bruges no longer assigns the number 12 to players, so that's dedicated to the fans. Well, Brugge me, that's lovely. moving on to the next team, Red Star Belgrade. They're the Serbian champions. So they had to have quite a few qualifiers to get here, despite being champions. They still have to go through quite an arduous journey to get to the Champions League. So they played the Lithuanian champions, Suduva, the Finnish champions, HJK, the Danish champions, Copenhagen, and the Swiss champions, Young Boys. So that's 8 games before they even got into the qualifying stage. So they've already beaten 4 champions. They've had to be champions and beat 4 champions before even getting to the group. Who have they got in the group? Well, the German champions, 4th team in England, the team that finished 4th in England, and also the team that's 2nd in Greece. So they don't get it easy, these Champions League others. They, Red Star, I mentioned before, won the European Cup in 91, and they were UEFA Cup runners-up in 79. I'm not going to get confused with the tournaments. It's Europa League now. It used to be UEFA Cup, so we'll just say it as it is. It's the same tournament. The tournament's changed over the years, European Cup, Champions League, Europa League and UEFA Cup. They've changed over the years, but essentially the same tournament, so we won't waste time on that. This is a club that's got history in both tournaments. Red Star, to say this correctly, in Serbian, they like to be known now by the name that they use in their country. It's a bit difficult for us to say, but Crvena Zvezda. Just means Red Star. They're the most popular club in Serbia. The Red Star that they named after, and the club itself, are a symbol of Serbian pride, which I think means more for it to be proud of your country, especially when their country was plighted with war. So yeah, good luck to them. Next team we're going to look at is Olympiakos, famous Greek team. They were finished 2nd in the league last year, so they've had to go through the playoffs. So they had to play 3 playoffs, so we get another 6 games before getting to the group stages of the Champions League. So they beat Pilsen, Basaksehir, and Krasnodar. So yeah, 6 tough games there, and then landed in the same group again. So German champs, 4th in England, Serbian champions, same group as Red Star. Olympiakos are an interesting one. They've played 60 years in European competition across the European Cup, UEFA Cup, Cup Winners' Cup. So they got to the quarterfinals in the European Cup and the Cup Winners' Cup. So yeah, they have got a strong history in Europe, but a famous old team. The name Olympiakos was chosen because they wanted to emulate the Olympic spirit and ethos of the Olympics. So they'll be looking for at least a bronze medal finish in this group. Yeah, excuse the pun. Move on to the next one, Dynamo Zagreb. So they're the Croatian champions. So they've had to play 3 two-legged playoffs, including Rosenborg, Ferencváros, and Sabatalo. So yeah, it's another 6 games before they get to the Champions League. And who do they get when they get there? Only the English champions, the Ukraine champions, and 3rd in Italy. So they've already played quite a decent number of champions there. Their history in the game: they were semi-final in the Cup Winners' Cup 61, and 2 semi-finals in the Europa League. Twice in the Europa League last 16. They're the most successful in Croatia. They're also known as citizens. That's something that they share with the city, Manchester City. Got a fan group known as the Bad Blue Boys. It sounds more like sad, naughty school kids rather than hooligans, but still wouldn't want to mess with them. Moving on to the next team, another team in the same group. As I mentioned, the Ukraine champions, Shakhtar Donetsk. They didn't have to do any qualifiers with the status of the Ukraine League being a bit higher, so they qualify for the group stage. They're in the same group again. So again, English champions, 3rd in Italy, Croatian champions. So not an easy group for them at all. The Shakhtar have won the UEFA Cup in 09, quite recently, 10 years ago. Had a semi. Sorry, I just made myself laugh there. I'm just childish, sense of humour. They had a semi in a few years ago in 2016. Got to the Champions League quarterfinals in 2011, Cup Winners' Cup quarterfinal as well. So they've got a decent history in European competition. On their badge, I've always noticed this, and not only what it referred to. So on their badge, it says Wax Tap. So that's just the name of Shakhtar in Ukrainian text. If you think about it, you've got some similar letters, it does make sense. I always thought it was a sponsor or some kind of advertising, but I don't know what I thought they were selling. wax taps. I don't even know what they are. But yet their nickname is the Miners from the heritage for the area. The current assistant manager there, there's a famous name, is the he's their major man for the Miners. And he's a top appearances holder for the club, Dario Cerna. Quite a famous name in the Ukrainian game. Right, okay, so that's Shakhtar. I'm going to move on to a different group. Lokomotiv Moscow. They're the runners-up in the Russian league. The Russian league's rated a bit higher, so they didn't have to qualify. So they went straight to the group stage, found themselves in the same group as the Italian champions, the team that finished second in Spain, and also the team that finished fourth in Germany. So they've got a history. Lokomotiv Moscow in the Cup Winners' Cup. We have two semis in 1998-99. The Champions League last 16 twice in 03-04. So, yeah, they're competitors in European competition. You probably guessed by the name, Lokomotiv. It was a Russian Railways team. And they won the first title. It's really interesting on this, for me anyway. I keep saying that. Really interesting. I find it interesting. I hope you do too. Yeah, so they won the first title in 2002 in a golden match, they called it. So they finished level with CSKA and CSKA, and they had a playoff for the title. And that's where CSKA's title hopes hit the buffers as the Lokomotivs won the title. Can you imagine that? Imagine it in England, for example. City and Liverpool finishing top of the table and having a one-off match for the title. That'd be amazing. But yeah, moving on to the other team in the group. I mentioned fourth in Germany by Leverkusen. Finished fourth in Germany, but with Germany's status as a high country in European qualifiers, that they didn't have to qualify to get through. So they've ended up in the group, as I mentioned before, the Italian champions, team second in Spain, and Russian runners-up I've just mentioned. So the by Leverkusen won the European Cup in 88, Champions League runners-up to Real Madrid in 02. So, yeah, they're competitors in this competition. So the club was founded in 1904. It's a bit contentious in Germany, that I'll mention in a second. So founded in 1904 by employees of the German pharmaceutical company Bayer. So they're as known as the the company team, the factory team, or the tablet thrusters. I like that one. So yeah, I mentioned it was contentious. They were accused of being plastic for the corporate ties, a bit like the Red Bull teams. But I don't go for that. No team has had any success anywhere in the world without money being invested in the team. I think it's a bit snobby to criticise teams that have links to corporations. This, especially when this one goes right back to when they were founded in 1904, and hence the company name and the official name of the team from the start by Leverkusen. So yeah, mentioned Red Bull, we'll move on to them in a different group. So they're the Austrian champions, so they went straight through. So they found themselves in a group with the team that finished second in England and also the team that were European champions. Don't need to name who they are. Also the team that finished second in Italy and the Belgian champions. So it's a decent group they found themselves in. Let's see if they can impress. So they were European Cup runners-up in 94, put an asterisk next to that. They were Austria Salzburg at the time. I think it's essentially the same team. So they're 86 years old, if you accept that the name just changed. Red Bull brought them in 2005. Initially, they wanted to discard the history and start again, but that split the fans, really, and the league insisted they were the same club. So it's now time's passed. They see it, they've accepted it more of a transition rather than a complete change. So they have three league titles before the Red Bull buyout, and they've had 10 since Red Bull took over. So in that time since they took over, they've been really flying as Red Bull gave them wings. Bad jokes, apologise. Move on to the Belgian champions that I mentioned, Genk, and not to be confused with another team in Belgium called Gent. Gent, it's felt like. Yep, Genk, say Belgian champions, and so they went no qualifiers straight into the group. They're in the group, as I mentioned before, with the Austrian champions Salzburg, and also second in England, and European champions, and also were second in Italy. So they reached the Europa League qualifiers in 2017, the last round of 16 in the Europa League a few times, group stage of the Champions League. So they have competed in Europe, not a massive storied record, but still competed. So the nickname of the club is De Smurfen, which, if my translation skills are correct, means the Smurfs, just because they're blue, basically. The club was created in 1988. So some young and some old teams in this competition. So yeah, there was two clubs that had been together quite a while, existing quite a while. In the teams, KFC Winterslag and Watershire Thor Genk. Hang on a minute, did I just say? I did. KFC Winterslag. What a name for a football club. I think I met one of those on a Christmas night out once. KFC Winterslag. But yeah, we'll go with Genk now, that sounds better. She was Genk as well. Right, I'm going to move on to the next team. Slavia Prague, they were the Czech champions. They've had to play a two-legged playoff versus Cluj, the Romanian champions. And they've landed in a group with the Spanish champions, team second in Germany and fourth in Italy. So quite a strong group. So yeah, the history in this tournament, the Champions League, UEFA Cup semi-final in 1996. And also the quarterfinals twice, so they've competed on this stage before. They were founded in on the 2nd of November, to be precise, 1892, so quite a bit older than Genk. They were founded by medicine students in Vinohrady, Prague, as a sport club. The sport club was aimed at increasing the sport activity amongst students. Initially, the club focused on cycling, then expanded to football in 1896. They were quite a forward-thinking club and got a Scottish manager in 1905 in John Madden. He brought success to them and ended up staying in Prague for the rest of his life. He loved it there so much. I bet they were glad he didn't get on his bike. You know, I mentioned the cyclists. Ah, never mind. So that's a handful of Champions League, 10 to be precise. So we've spoken about those Champions League. Now we know a bit more about them, and I'll be watching out for their performances and see who can they see who they can upset in the Champions League. Also, if they end up in the Europa League, they finish third in the groups and come down into the Europa League, we'll see how they do there and see if they can take the Champions League pedigree with them. Right, so now how about those Europa League teams? I'm going to run through the teams and where they come from and their Europa League journey so far from the qualifiers. And I'll have a closer look at the number of games that the teams play. I want to have a look into this because I think it is really interesting how the teams have to, how they arrive at these tournaments by the number of qualifiers they have to play. We'll have a closer look at that. I'm going to look at going to the range of European countries they come from. I think that's interesting to focus on that. Like I said before, it's to me, it's the whole point of this tournament is to get teams from different countries playing each other. It's not just to fight out amongst the select few at the top. I think there's much more fun to be had by pitting countries against each other and see how they get on. Right, well, let's dive into my new favourite team, Dude Lounge. We've got a great team name. It sounds like a cheap man cave, the Dude Lounge. I can just imagine a cold garage with an old fridge and a knackered dartboard. Welcome to the Dude Lounge. Anyway. Right, so Europa League, so the Dude Lounge I'm going to speak about first. They won the Luxembourg League. They've had a two-legged qualifier against the Maltese champions, Valletta. Sorry, they lost a Champions League qualifier against the Maltese champions and went into the Europa League qualifiers. So they played the Macedonian champions, FC Shkodrë, the Estonian champions, and Nomi Kalju. My pronunciations are terrible, I apologise. Another qualifier against the Armenian champions, Ararat Armenia. So I'll go on to who they're playing in the group games. They're playing in the groups the Cypriot champions, Apoel Nicosia, Karabakh, who are the Azerbaijan champions, and then they'll play Sevilla, who are the record five-time winners of the Europa League. So some run of matches that. If they get out of the group, they will definitely have earned it. So a similar story for Karabakh that I'll go on to now. Karabakh, the Azerbaijan champions, also known as the Horsemen, They've overcome a few hurdles to get here as well. Champions League qualifier against the Albanian champions, Partizani Tirana. And then the Champions League qualifier against the Irish champions, Dundalk and Lugano, they played as well. There was a qualifier against the Champions League qualifier still against the Cypriot champions, Apoel, which had lost, and then they dropped into the Europa League qualifiers. So they played a two-legged qualifier against the Northern Ireland champions, Linfield. So they found themselves in the same group as the Dude Lounge, also featuring more champions. So yeah, it's quite a journey these teams have got to get there. And the next two teams I'm going to speak about are in the same group as each other. Rather than the champions, these two are from bigger leagues than the last two I just spoke about. So probably of a better standard than the champions of smaller leagues. So I'll call these the next best teams. So I think that's the magical blend of this tournament in Europa League. I know people aren't sold on it because of how big the Champions League is and how well it's marketed. But I love this tournament. You've got your champions, the smaller teams, and then your next best teams in the next best leagues. So you get a decent variety. So these ones are next best teams. Trabzonspor, so they're the fourth team in Turkey. So that's what I mean. Higher quality league, but not winning the league. So yeah, the Trabzonspor, or known as the Black Sea Storm, had to play a two-legged qualifier against Sparta Prague. They were team that were third in the Czech league. A two-legged qualifier against AEK Athens. They were third in Greece. Yeah, but that was a stormy one. Turks against the Greeks. So they don't get on too well. Traditionally. Yeah, so that's Trabzonspor. I'll tell you who's in the group once I've spoken about Krasnodar, because they're in the same group. Krasnodar, so they're also known as the Bulls. This 11-year-old team, not quite a young one, they charged into the third place in Russia. They had to play a two-legged qualifier, Champions League qualifier this is, versus Porto, second team in Portugal, so that was a tough draw. And then they had to play another Champions League qualifier versus Olympiakos, second team in Greece. So another tough draw. They lost that, so that qualified them for the Europa League stage. So Trabzonspor and Krasnodar in a group with Basel, who finished second in Switzerland, and Getafe, who finished fifth in Spain. So yeah, it's like what I'm saying, the next best teams. They still probably have a higher level of some of the champions of lower league, but it's going to make this competition interesting. So we'll go on to another two of the champions type teams. These two are both in the same group. So LASK, or LASK, they finished second in Austria. They're actually created by a post office employee. So they play the Champions League qualifier against Basel, which they won, finished second in Switzerland. Another Champions League qualifier against Bruges, the Belgian champions. They lost that, so they had to play against... Oh, sorry, that qualified them for the Europa League group stage. So they're going to play against Rosenborg, the Norwegian champions. Sporting Lisbon, Sporting Club de Portugal, Lisbon. I can't remember how to say that properly. They finished third in Portugal. Also PSV finished second in Holland. So a tough group there. So yeah, that moves me on to Rosenborg. They're the Norwegian champions. The a strange nickname for this team. The Troll Children is their nickname. Trolls are from the Norse mythology and Scandinavian folklore. What a bizarre nickname that is. So they've had to play a Champions League qualifier against Linfield, Northern Ireland champions. Another Champions League qualifier against Bate Borisov, the Belarus champions. A Champions League qualifier against Maribor, Slovenian champions, and they lost a Champions League qualifier against Dynamo Zagreb, team I mentioned earlier. So that put them into the group stage. So they're in the group stage with LASK that I mentioned before, and also Sporting and PSV, so another tough group for them. Moving on to another team that's one of the next best teams, Vitória. They finished fifth in Portugal, so again, a higher league but a lower position. Played a Europa League qualifier against the third team in Luxembourg, UNSA. They won that. Another two-legged qualifier against the second in Latvia, Ventspils. Two-legged European qualifier against Steaua Bucharest. Finished second in Romania. So a decent effort to get through to the group against those teams. They've landed in a group with Standard Liège, who are third in Belgium, Eintracht Frankfurt, 7th in Germany. Arsenal finished 5th in England. So quite a journey for them, and they're in a tough group. So the next two teams are in the same group. These are the Champions type teams. So Ludogorets, the Bulgarian champions, also known as the Eagles. They took it easy in the Champions League qualifiers, but they took it to the limit in the Europa League qualifiers. Enough of the bad puns. As I said, they got beat by Ferencváros, the Hungarian champions, and the Champions League qualifiers. So that went on to three Europa League qualifiers against Valur, the Icelandic champions, the New Saints, TNS, the Welsh champions, and Maribor, the Slovenian champions. Quite a few champions are playing against. And they've landed in a group with CSKA, CSKA, finished fourth in Russia. Ferencváros, the Hungarian champions I mentioned, and also Espanyol, a decent Spanish team, finished 7th there in their league last year. So yeah, Ferencváros I mentioned. I think I've got the pronunciation right with that one. The Hungarian champions, they had three Champions League qualifiers and then a Europa League qualifier when they lost the last one. So they beat Ludogorets, the Bulgarian champions. They beat Valletta, the Maltese champions. And lost against Dynamo Zagreb, Croatian champions. So that gave them a qualifier for the Europa League, which they won. So that was FK Saduva, the Lithuanian champions. And that got them in the group I mentioned before, CSKA, Espanyol, and Ludogorets. So now there are two more, the next best category teams. One of the teams I've never heard of, Alexandria. So they finished third in the Ukrainian league. This one's another miners team. Can they dig in against similar quality opposition? So Wolfsburg finished 6th in Germany. Ghent, I mentioned before, 5th in Belgium. St Etienne, 4th in France. So yeah, so that's Alexandria. In a different group, we've got a team, Wolfsburger. So not to be confused with Wolfsburg in Germany. It's an Austrian team. They finished 3rd in Austria, and they're completely nothing to do with Wolfsburg, called Wolfsburger. They've also got a strange sponsorship with RZ Pellets, a company that has the name in the badge, RZ Pellets. That's a bit of a bizarre one. Imagine having a team name with Mick at the start and a golden M in the badge. That'd be weird. Anyway, so yeah, they finished 3rd in Austria, and they've gone to play 6th in Italy, 5th in Germany, 2nd in Turkey. So the two more champions, we've got Slovan Bratislava, also known as the Hawks. Don't need to watch the other teams like a hawk if you want to get flying in this group. Terrible. So yeah, the Slovak champions lost a Champions League qualifier against Sujeska, Montenegrin champions. They won a Europa League qualifier against the Kosovan champions, Ferroni Kelly. The Irish champions, Dundalk, and the Greek champions, PAOK. So yeah, quite a tough journey for them. And they've ended up in a group with the third team in Turkey, Beşiktaş, 7th in England, Wolves, and 4th in Portugal, Braga. So moving on to the next team, Astana. They're a club in a hurry. They're 10 years old, and they've 5 titles in the Kazakhstan League, and 3 cups as well. So can they add European progress to their impressive early CV? We'll see. The Kazakh champs had to play against the Romanian champions in the Champions League qualifier. They lost, so they ended up in the Europa League. They had to play the Andorran champions, Santa Coloma, and the Maltese champions, Valletta, and the Belarus champions, Bate Borisov. So that landed them in a group with the team that finished 6th in England, 3rd in Serbia, Partizan Belgrade, and the 4th in Holland, AZ Alkmaar. So one last next best team, Partizan Belgrade, the also known as the Steamroller. They flattened the opposition to get here. They finished 3rd in Serbia, Europa League qualifier against Connors Key, and the 2nd in Wales. They beat Yeni Malatyaspor, 5th in Turkey, and Molde, team that finished 2nd in Norway. A difficult group to end up in, similar to the one above, 6th in England and 4th in Holland. Right, so in the next best section, I'm going to mention about the number of games the teams have to play and the level of opposition. So Trabzonspor finished 4th in Turkey, so by the end of the group stage, they'll have played 10 games, 8 games against 2nd and 3rd in similar leagues, and 2 games against a team in a better league. Krasnodar finished 3rd in Russia. They'll play 10 games by the end of the group stage. So 4 games against teams in better leagues, 4 games against teams in similar leagues, and two games against clubs in much better countries. So Vitória finished fifth in Portugal. Salah played 12 games by the end of the group stages, 8 games against similar opposition, and 4 games against teams from better leagues. Alexandria, the Ukrainian team, finished third in their league. They don't have to qualify, so they'll have played 6 teams by the end of the group stage, but four games against teams from top leagues, and 2 games against teams from similar leagues. So they've got a decent challenge, these teams. It's more complicated for the champions ones, but with these next best teams, they're going to Wolfsburger, they finished third in Austria. They'll have played 2 games against a better league and 4 games against teams from a top league. Partizan Belgrade, third in Serbia, will have played 12 games by the end of the group stage. So 4 games against teams from similar leagues, 6 games against teams from a better league, and 2 games against a team from the top league. So out of the champions-type teams out of this Europa League, you've got the Dude Lounge and Karabag. They'll have played 14 games by the end of the group stage in this tournament. It's ridiculous. So they'll have played, each of them will have played 12 champions, and two games against the team that have won the most Europa Leagues. So quite a challenge for them. We've got LASK second in Austria, 4 games against champions from similar leagues, 4 games against second and third in better leagues, and 2 games against teams in a similar league. You've got Rosenborg, the Norwegian champions, will have played 14 games by the end of the group stages, 8 games against champions from other countries, 4 games against teams from better leagues. So moving on to Ludogorets and Ferencvaros. They'll have played 14 games by the end of the group stage. So that's the Bulgarian champs and the Hungarian champions. They'll have played 10 games against similar champions, 2 games against teams from a better league, and 2 games against teams from a top league. So it's not easy for these other teams in the Europa League. Last two, is Slovan Bratislava and Astana. So the Slovak champions and the Kazakh champions. They'll have played 8 games against champions from other leagues, 2 games against teams from a top league, and 4 games against teams from a better league than them. So that's an average of 11 games for these teams in the Europa League. Average of 11 games. It's nearly twice the amount of group games. That's before the knockout stages where you've got the Champions League teams dropping in, like it's been the ones I spoke about earlier. So these teams might be from lower leagues, but the games they play represent more of a Champions League than the real Champions League, really, if you think about how many champions they have to play against. I checked the numbers for the group stages, and the Champions League does have more league champions, as it should, than the Europa League, but it's only 15 to 12. So 15 champions of countries in the Champions League group stage and 12 champions from countries in the Europa League. So there's another reason to love the Europa League there. As I mentioned before, it's got more countries represented and a decent number of champions, so that's fair play to them. But the number of games involved in these qualifiers and group stage represent more than a third of the average number of domestic league games that most countries play. So it's a massive amount of extra games for these teams in the Europa League. So any victories these teams get, whether it's group stage or further, is an achievement to be proud of. So if you look at further in the competition, the numbers are crazy. Let's have a look at the Champions League. I'll go back to them. So the Champions League, you've got the group stage, and then you've got 2 legs of the last 16, 2 legs of the quarterfinals, 2 legs of the semi-finals, and then the final game. So the minimum number of games for the winners of the Champions League is 13. So if you don't have to qualify for the group stage, and you just play the group stage and go through, it's 13 games to win the Champions League. But if you look at teams who played qualifiers, the maximum number of games for the winners would be Red Star with 21. So if Red Star were to win the Champions League, they would have had to play 21 games, including qualifiers, group stages, and knockouts during the tournament. That's ridiculous. Hopefully, if they do bring a third tier into European competition, they'll even this up so the teams don't have to play varying numbers of qualifiers. So we'll see how that develops. Europa League, with it being a bigger tournament, they've got the group stage, 2 legs of the last 32, 2 legs of the last 16, 2 legs of the quarterfinals, 2 legs of the semi-finals, and 1 final. So the minimum number of games, so these are teams that don't have to qualify, so the minimum number of games for the winners would be 15 games. the maximum number of games for the winners. So there's 7 teams in this category that have played a lot of qualifiers, including the Dude Lounge, Rosenberg and Slovak Bratislava. They would have to play 23 games, including qualifiers, group stage and knockouts. 23 games they would have to play to win that tournament. If any of them do that, they'll have my eternal respect. So I hope that if they do bring this third tournament in that I mentioned, if we get rid of some of these qualifiers, I hope it benefits European football as well by spreading European competition across the leagues. So hopefully it'll make each league stronger and make them compete better domestically, so that European Conference, the third tier leagues, can aspire to jump up to the Europa League. Europa League teams can aspire to go up to the Champions League and so on. So I hope there's a flow like that would benefit a lot of leagues. But it might not happen, as the teams at the top table are rich and powerful and they want to stay there. And you could argue these extra European games for the smaller squads that will make it difficult in the leagues, and then that'll cement the teams that are currently top in the league staying there. So, well, we'll see what happens. But a lot of teams will still be playing European football, and there's still an appetite for that across all of Europe. There's an appetite for this European competition, so there's lots of football to enjoy, and that's what I love doing. So I'll be watching this going forward and looking out for the achievements, big and small, from the other teams. So I hope you enjoyed that today. I certainly did enjoy learning more about these teams and didn't know much about before. And so thanks for listening. So that's the end of the podcast today. I've got more to come your way soon. But in the meantime, check out some of the other podcasts I mentioned earlier. And I'll see you soon. If you want to contact me, it's at Holeball, WHOLE, at Holeball, or the whole of the ball at hotmail.com. Speak to you soon. Cheerio.